he asked, bringing his mug over to the table. She shifted in her seat, a small frown crossing her face. Sorry, we don't have to talk about it.
No, it's fine, just not a terribly flattering story.
Oh, he said, not able to help his teasing smile. Now I really want to hear it. Kira rolled her eyes, but Bennett had a feeling it was more at herself than at him.
I was over-influenced by influencers.
What does that even mean?
I thought I could do this. She waved her hand around, in a gesture that encompassed everything from the house to the farm outside. All this. I thought I could buy an old farmhouse and have a garden and make pickles.
Pickles?
Yeah, like pickle all kind of vegetables and line them up in neat little jars, and I could just, I don't know, do something for myself for once, by myself for once.
He nodded slowly, not really sure what the hell to make of any of that. But she was talking to him, and he liked it. He didn't want to say something that would make her stop.
And, I don't know, clearly, I screwed up. And now I'm here in this big old house with this farm I never intended on having.
He wanted to ask how that could happen. How do you end up buying a farm without knowing? But he knew better than to say that out loud.
I've never been very practical. That was Chloe's thing.
Chloe?
My twin. She's gone.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Kira's eyes widened. Oh, no. I'm sorry. She's not dead. She's in Denmark.
Bennett blew out a long breath. Jesus. He thought he'd dredged up memories of her dead twin.
She's in Denmark with her new husband.
Kira made a face at that, as though this new husband was something foul.
And I'm here alone.
Alone and cold. She shrugged and gave a self-deprecating laugh.
I couldn't even survive one day of being open without needing you to rush in and help me. I didn't actually do anything.
Well, that's true. He laughed and her smile grew, warming him up even in this drafty house. How about I call my dad later and see if he has any tips about these old radiators? A sharp shake of her head sent her hair cascading over her shoulders.
You don't have to do that.
Well, consider it a favor to me, he said, leaning toward her across the table, just a little, just enough to watch her blush spread. It gets me off, remember? She sputtered.
I never should have said that.
Oh, you were right. I like it. I like feeling useful. Her lips twitched, somewhere between a smile and a scowl.
Okay, fine, but that's it. Deal.
She eyed him over the rim of her coffee mug, and he found he had more questions after this little chat than he'd had before they started.
I should go, he said, standing before he could do any more, offer any more. He needed to go before he did something crazy, like suggest he wrap Kira in his arms to warm her up.
A pointless daydream.
Sure. Thanks again.
There was just one more thing, because Bennett still wasn't smart about women, despite his best efforts. Will I see you at the tree lighting? Kira scrunched up her face, like a child being forced to eat their vegetables.
I guess so.
He chuckled. It might be fun.
Crazier things have happened.
As he rounded up his dogs and headed out, Bennett refused to think of all the crazier things he'd like to happen with the prickly and intriguing Kira North.
Chapter 5.
Did you find anything?
Bennett glanced at the text from his sister. He debated ignoring it. He was already working far later than he wanted to, but he had projects to catch up on after his morning of playing Mr. Fix-It at Kira's. But he hated leaving messages unanswered. It made him feel itchy.
Nope, not a single dead body in sight.
Okay, phew. When are you going back?
He sighed, leaning back against Jeannie's couch cushions. Her small apartment lacked a desk, and he was still trying to figure out the most comfortable place to work.
I don't think I'm going back.
He needed to stay away from Kira. That's what his little visit had proven to him this morning. Seeing her in that drafty old house had stirred up too many things in him, and he needed those things to stay buried, just like Edwin's dead wife.
You have to. Just a few more times. Just to be sure.
You do know this is insane, right?
Of course I do. But the mayor had a dream, and he's rarely wrong.
And what did the wise and powerful mayor see in this dream?
Well, they're always a little fuzzy, but basically, something important is buried on that farm.
So shouldn't we let Kira find it?
Even as he typed it, his stomach dropped at the idea of Kira making a gruesome discovery by herself, and Jeannie knew it too. We can't let her stumble upon something like that.
Fine, one more time.
Thank you, Ben. You're the best.
He didn't feel like the best. He felt like an absolute sucker who'd got conned into doing ridiculous errands for his sister because he was too much of a sap to let her down. But what else was new? His sister wasn't the first woman to manipulate him into doing things for her, and he was sure she wouldn't be the last.
Bennett was back. She should feel annoyed by that, but she was having trouble summoning the energy today. It was day two of the farm being open, and still no customers. A low level of panic had started simmering in her gut. What was left of her trust fund, after buying this place, was gone after a few months of living here without any additional income. And now, if this Christmas tree farm thing didn't take off, she truly had no idea what to do next. This was the first time in her life that she was on her own. She'd spent the first 24 years being either coddled or bailed out of every situation. Her parents had the funds and the means to soften the blow of her various bad decisions. Even when she and Chloe moved out of the Georgian mansion they'd grown up in, they hadn't gone further than the recently renovated carriage house. It was pathetic. She was pathetic. A barely functioning adult. And when she finally decided to strike out on her own, she somehow thought buying an old farm was the way to go. But she was all in now. She refused to admit defeat. It had to work. She walked out to the front porch to find Bennett climbing out of his rental car. He had a toolbox this time, but no dogs to buffer their interactions. In her current mood, that didn't bode well for Bennett.
"Back for more fun?" she called, and he looked up with that perfect smile.
"I might be able to get those radiators working better." He strode up her front path like a man on a mission. "My dad told me some things to try." Kira considered not letting him in. It was possible that her first impression of him wasn't exactly right. Maybe he wasn't a misogynist who thought she couldn't do things for herself, but she also didn't know why he was so damn concerned about her house. What was his angle? It was an awful lot of work just to get her in bed, and she hadn't really given him any indication she would want him there anyway. Maybe he liked a challenge. She didn't have time to fend off well-meaning do-gooders or guys with a masochistic streak when she was too busy failing miserably at her only chance to build something for herself. So, whichever one he was, she shouldn't let him in. On the other hand, she was tired of being cold. She stepped aside.
"Have at it."
"Thanks." Another smile as he passed her and let himself in.
"Maybe later you can find a bunch of old ladies that need help crossing the street."
He looked over his shoulder with an amused smirk. "Helping with your heat and escorting old ladies? The perfect day." Kira huffed and rolled her eyes, but Bennett was undeterred today. "If it's okay with you, I'll just go around to each radiator and see if I can adjust the vent cans. If not, maybe the service valves." "I don't know what any of that means, but go nuts." "Great." Suddenly, Kira didn't like the idea of just hanging out in her house while Bennett messed around with her radiators. That would be awkward. "I'm going to go check on Iris."
"Oh, good. She still works here, then."
Kira winced. She had not made a great first impression with her only employee yesterday, but the intrepid Iris had shown up again this morning, assuring her that she was not easily scared off. Apparently, she was used to working for crazy people. From what Kira gathered, Iris had grown up in Dream Harbor and was undeterred by the antics of the townsfolk. She also had plenty of jobs around town and had even invited Kira to join her yoga class. She was probably perfectly fine out there by herself, snug and cozy in the little cabin. But again, Kira had no desire to sit around and watch Ben at work. So, continuing with her fake-it-till-you-make-it-as-a-Christmas-tree-farmer plan, she pulled on her boots to head outside.
Yes, miraculously, she still works here, after you scared her half to death with your whole that-house-is-gonna-collapse-and-crush-her thing.
Bennett stopped clanging around in his toolbox for long enough to look at her with a bemused expression.
I never said that.
You definitely did. I wasn't the one who went running and screaming across the farm. It was an emergency.
It really wasn't.
It could have been. I could have been saving her life. His smile grew, and Kara was horrified to find her own mouth inching up to mirror his. She shook her head. Time to go, not time to stand around smiling at this Clark Kent look-alike. Maybe she'd find a biker or a parolee on her way that she could make out with, just to remind herself who she really was. All this fresh, piney air must be messing with her senses.
It only took an hour for Kira to run out of things to do. She checked on Iris and, as expected, found her totally content with a nose in her book. She'd swept the little front porch that led to the payment window, straightened the wreath on the door, photographed a few dozen angles of the new sign she'd had commissioned, wandered through the trees, made notes of things to tell the groundskeeper she'd hired, who was starting next week, and read through the responses to her ad for a Santa, but they were few and far between. And after all that, she'd really had no choice but to head back to the house, seeing as there still wasn't a customer in sight. Had she really been that terrifying to the locals? Sure, she'd told everyone in no uncertain terms that she wasn't reopening, and she hadn't exactly been friendly to the neighbors who'd stopped by, but still, that couldn't possibly have been enough to keep everyone away forever. Where were they getting their trees? Were they all going without one this year? She could probably ask Bennett to spread the word, seeing as his sister owned the town's favorite cafe, but she was already uncomfortable with everything else he was doing. She wasn't about to add free marketing into the mix. She might actually have to go to this tree lighting thing. It was that or starve, or freeze, or both. A nice freeze and starve combo. She walked inside to find the downstairs empty, but she could hear footsteps above her. She climbed the stairs and found Bennett in the first bedroom, currently being used to house empty cardboard boxes, crouched down next to the radiator. He'd rolled up the sleeves of his flannel shirt, and his forearm flexed as he turned some kind of valve on the side of the old metal beast. Squatting there like that, his jeans stretched tight over his thighs and ass. Time for him to go.
Almost done?
Kira's voice came out tight and squeaky. Bennett's head snapped up at the sound. Oh, I didn't know you were back.
I am. Kira cleared her throat. I am back. So, are you leaving soon?
Bennett stood, that teasing smirk on his face. He wiped his hands on his jeans, and Kira could not be faulted for watching the motion. Those thighs were distracting. This is the last one. Hopefully, this helps a bit.
Right, I'm sure it will. Any heat is better than no heat.
I found this behind one of the radiators. He handed Kira an old piece of paper he pulled out of his back pocket.
What is it?
She asked, trying to make out the slanted script across the yellowed notebook paper.
Not sure.
She looked again.
It looks like someone was making a list of their stuff.
Bennett peered down at the paper, a crease between his brows. 2 Tiffany lamps, full set of bone china, he read.
A lot of it smudged.
He squinted and turned the paper.
Ellie's baubles.
Baubles? Like jewelry? Bennett shrugged. Could mean ornaments or something like that.
Can't make out much more.
Kira frowned.
The old owners must have written it.
Yeah, it could be. I heard the farm was left to a cousin, but maybe they wanted their other possessions to go to different people?
So this is what, like a rough draft of their will?
He shrugged again. Beats me, but I should go. She watched as he gathered up his tools, and a spike of panic shot through her. She didn't want him to leave. She didn't want to spend the rest of the day alone in this cold house, on this failing farm. Kira was a twin.
She'd always felt it was against her nature to be alone. She hadn't even been alone in the womb. And now look at her, contemplating chaining this nice, neighborly guy to a radiator just so that she wouldn't have to face another dark evening by herself. She couldn't stop feeling like half a person, like half of her organs had been scooped out and taken to Denmark. This farm, this plan, it was supposed to help, supposed to give her something that was truly hers. And it wasn't working. She'd been the grinchy character above Dream Harbor for nearly 3 months now, and she had nothing to show for it. No picture-perfect, organically raised, locally sourced life. She was an idiot. When he looked up again, Bennett caught her frowning. At least she wasn't crying. But he had that worried crease between his brows again, and she could not have that. Absolutely not. He had to go, because unlike the Grinch, Kira had zero interest in having a heart that grew 3 sizes. Certainly not if that meant warm and fuzzy feelings toward the man her mother would throw her a parade for marrying. Marrying? Dear God, spending so much time alone had definitely started to rot her brain. Okay, well, thanks again. See you around. She stepped out of the way of the door so Bennett could pass. She ignored the questioning look on his face as he scooted by, his tall, toned body brushing a little too close to hers. She didn't owe him any answers. She followed him down the stairs, certainly not noticing how broad his back was or that his hair had gotten mussed as he was working. But maybe she did owe him a little something, since he'd come all the way out here to help her. Not that she'd asked him to. "You can have a free tree," she said, when they were back in the entryway, and Bennett was pulling on his coat. He raised his eyebrows. "A free tree?" "Yeah, for your, services." He grinned. "Free tree sounds great." Kira sighed. "Good. Payment for services rendered, and then Bennett could leave and never come back. Perfect. The last thing she needed was to be indebted to this guy." "I don't have time to stick around today, though," he said. "Got a meeting at 2. I'll have to take you up on it another time." "Damn it." Kira kept the fake smile plastered on her face. "Sure, another time." "And you'll help me pick it out?" His smile was back to teasing, which at least meant the worry was gone. "I don't know if I can live up to your perfect tree-finding standards." He held her gaze for a second before answering, and Kira wished there was a dog or two between them to break the tension. "I think you'll live up to them just fine." Chapter 6 Bennett had spent the last several days actually working and absolutely not thinking about Kira and her ancient radiators and if they should be making that hissing noise all the time and if the return pipe in the basement should be hot. Though he thought it probably shouldn't be. If he hadn't been suddenly swamped putting out fires at work, he might have wandered back up to the farm one more time just to check that things were running smoother. But it was probably for the best that he hadn't been able to. Watching YouTube videos of old men explaining steam heat every night before bed was already going too far. He needed to stop. Kira hadn't even asked for his help. Was it any wonder that his last year of dating had turned into him doing favors for women he barely knew? It was the energy he was putting out in the world. What did Aunt Dot tell him just the other day, when he had dinner with her and Jeannie? "Your vibe attracts your tribe." Well, apparently, Bennett's tribe consisted of a lot of people needing favors. Bennett Ellis, free rides, moving services, and now heating help. Maybe instead of a dating profile, he should just have business cards made up. He was purposely ignoring the fact that Kira was different than any other woman he'd ever dated, and that she hadn't taken advantage of him at all. She'd barely let him in and had only begrudgingly let him help. And she was beautiful and interesting and maybe a little bit sad and a little bit lonely, in a way he thought maybe he understood. But he was going to keep ignoring all of that, because he was only here for the month, and he had no business chasing after a woman who he would only have to leave behind, even though he was pretty sure that Chase would be great.
He shook that last thought from his head and finished his walk. From the sound of drifting Christmas music and the glow of more twinkle lights than any town should ever own, he was nearly at the Dream Harbor 53rd Annual Christmas Tree Lighting and December Holidays Extravaganza. Or, at least that was the name written across the banner hanging over Main Street. According to his sister, this was Dream Harbor's biggest event of the year, and that was saying a lot, because from what he'd heard, this town loved an event. He couldn't help the little kick of excitement in his chest. Even at 27, Bennett loved Christmas. How could you not love it? The cozy lights, the near-constant intake of cookies, the secret thrill of finding the perfect gift. And this year, he was back on the East Coast, and it was actually cold. He loved it. His Christmas wish, if he was being honest and wasn't a grown man, was for a snowy Christmas. There was just something magical about snow on Christmas. His mouth hitched up, just thinking about what Kira would have to say about that.
"There you are!"
His sister's voice rang out over the music and the general hum of the crowd. Jeannie had one of the first booths on the square. The little wood huts were lined up in a row, strings of white lights running from roof to roof.
"Hey, how's it going so far?" he asked, as he joined Jeannie in the pumpkin spice booth.
There was already a line, and Jeannie's cheeks were pink as she handed free cups of cocoa to customer after customer.
"It's crazy! Do you see this crowd?"
He did. This end of Main Street had been closed off to traffic and was filled with people milling around, stopping at the booths along the way. It was already getting dark, even though it was only late afternoon, but the glow of the lights made everything cheerful and warm. "Do you want some help?" he asked, even as he bumped into Logan, who was filling cups. There wasn't exactly a lot of space inside the booth.
"No, no, we're good. My baristas, Joe and Crystal, are coming to relieve us in about an hour. We'll track you down then. They light the tree at 6.
Jeannie smiled at him.
"Go enjoy the festival. Maybe buy your favorite sister a gift. I really like the scarves at Bernadette's Handicrafts a few booths down, if you needed a starting place."
Bennett laughed.
"Okay, noted. See you later."
Logan nodded his goodbye in the middle of explaining to someone for the 12th time since Bennett had been there that cocoa was free, all other drinks were $3, even though that same message was clearly written on the sign out front.
"It's right there, clear as day."
Logan pointed down at the sign, and the older woman at the window slapped a hand to her forehead.
"Oh, would you look at that? If it was a snake, it would have bitten me."
Logan grumbled under his breath, and Bennett stifled his laugh.
"Good luck," he called,
as he ducked out of the booth and back into the chilled air. He didn't really have a plan of where to go first, so he decided to just let the crowd pull him along. Besides Jeannie's booth, he spotted Annie's Bakery, at least 5 crafters selling handmade scarves, a soap maker, a candle maker, and an artist painting miniatures of the festival. And that was just what he could see in his first scan. But it was the delicious smells wafting by that made up his mind on where to go next. Just past a crafter selling personalized ornaments and Christmas stockings was a booth with a giant waffle sign posted out front. The air around it smelled like waffle cones and caramel, and the line in front was longer than any others. That was enough to convince Bennett that this was the place to be. He got in line behind a figure in a familiar olive green parka as he debated if buying personalized stockings for the dogs would be cute or one step too far, even for him. Kira turned around, her face peeking out from her fur-lined hood. She narrowed her eyes when she saw him, and he couldn't help but smile at her reaction. It made her scowl deepen.
"Of course, you're here," she said.
He knew she was trying to sound like she was annoyed to see him, but he could swear he heard something else, too. Something that said she was glad to not be alone in the crowd anymore, like maybe she was relieved to have someone to talk to. "I think everyone in a 50-mile radius is here."
"Well, I don't need any rescuing at the moment, so you can go on your merry way."
Bennett raised an eyebrow as she tried to dismiss him.
"How cocky of you to assume that I'm here to see you," he said.
Kira scoffed.
You've shown up at my house multiple times now. It's not cocky. It's just pattern recognition.
He laughed and took secret pleasure in the fact that Kira bit down on her bottom lip to suppress her smile.
Actually, he said, peering over her shoulder, I'm a big fan of...
He read the sign above the booth, but there was no way that word was a real word.
Of these waffles?
Stroopwafels.
What?
Kira rolled her eyes. Stroopwafels. That's what they're called.
Bennett grinned.
I'm impressed.
You're impressed that I can read the sign? Or that I know that they're thin waffles with caramel sandwiched between them and that they originate in the Netherlands?
All of it. He was impressed with all of it. With her.
Impressed that you can say that word with a straight face.
She did smile then, brief and bright, and Bennett immediately wanted more. But before he could figure out how to make her do it again, he was jostled by the crowd and knocked into her instead.
Oof!
She let out a small puff of air against his neck as his body collided with hers.
Sorry.
He grabbed her arms to keep them both upright, and the action pulled her even closer to him. His face was practically in her hood with her now, her hair a soft, silky brush against his cheek, her breath warm against his throat. She was tall, and even when he was standing straight, he was only a few inches taller. But now when he pulled back, still a little stooped over, still holding her arms, they were eye to eye. Hers were somewhere between green and brown, like they couldn't quite decide which way to go, with dark lashes. They were wide at the moment, for once not narrowed in annoyance at him. She was warm and soft in his arms, and there it was again, that urge to pull her closer. She smelled like pine and fresh air and that indescribable something that was purely Kira. Another small breath left her, and if he wasn't sure she hated him, he would have called it a sigh. Almost as if she liked being held by him, as if she wanted to stay right here in his arms, as much as he wanted to keep her there. His gaze flicked down to her lips, so close to his in their current stance, so pink and plump, so biteable. Her eyes were dark when he looked up, dark and filled with something he hadn't dared to think about until now. Was it possible that Kira could want him too? As if in answer to his unspoken question, Kira cleared her throat, and the world around them slid back into place. The crowd, the festival, the weird waffles, the fact that Kira wasn't his to kiss or bite or hold on to like he still was. He dropped her arms.
Sorry about that.
Kira nodded, her gaze still on him, a slight flush to her cheeks that hadn't been there before.
Right, well, you're entitled to get waffles too. If you want them, I guess.
She turned on her heel to face the front of the line, and Bennett immediately missed her face. He spent the rest of their time in line wondering how he could go about convincing Kira to spend more time with him. And if that time led to her lips on his, then that would just be his little Christmas gift to himself. Bennett smelled like peppermint candy. Kira knew that, now that he'd nearly knocked her on her ass, but instead pulled her close and subjected her to the sturdy heat of his body. And now, as she waited for her stroopwafel, it was all she could think about. It didn't help that he was still behind her, his body a few inches from hers, and for a crazy moment she could picture leaning against him as they waited. He would wrap his arms around her and she would rest her head back on his shoulder, and it would be like a scene out of one of those romantic Christmas movies she loved to mock with her sister every year. But no, 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 no. She was not going to think about Bennett's warm body or her traitorous sister or sappy Christmas nonsense. She was going to get her caramelly waffle, wait for the mayor to light the damn tree, make her official grand opening announcement, and then she was going to go home, back to her dark, cold house, alone. Kira swallowed the lump growing in her throat. It was nearly her turn. She didn't need Bennett or Chloe or her parents' money or anyone, really. She just needed customers.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
A tiny white-haired woman, who could have won any Mrs. Claus look-alike contest, greeted her from the booth window.
How many?
At two, please, she said without thinking. Two Stroop waffles, two of everything. She'd always ordered two of everything, when she was out with her sister. When had she ever gone out for food by herself? Never. Did people do that? Well, she couldn't take it back now. The woman had already turned to the young man working with her, and he was already pouring batter into what must be an ancient Stroop waffle iron. It was too late. The waffles were in motion, and despite her current reputation in this town, she didn't want to insult Mrs. Claus. She was just going to have to eat two of these things. What she hadn't realized, until the woman handed her her order, was that each order came with three Stroop waffles wrapped in white bakery paper. So now she was on the hook to eat six, and even though they looked more like cookies than waffles, she didn't know if she could manage it. Here, she spun to face Bennett, handing him both bundles. Hold these. She pulled out her wallet and paid, bidding Mrs. Claus a Merry Christmas as she pulled Bennett away from the booth by his sleeve. He was looking at her with an amused smile by the time they found a place to get out of the crowd, tucked behind the food huts. The music was drowned out back here by the sound of multiple generators powering the electricity for the festival, the smell of the food blending together into a general sweetness that filled the air. You could have just asked me to eat with you, he said. I would have said yes. Kira frowned.
That's not what happened.
Oh, and what happened then?
I didn't realize that two would actually mean six, and then I had too many, so there you go. I didn't want them to go to waste.
Bennett was smiling as he bit into his first waffle.
I'll just go now.
He put a hand on her arm.
Stay.
He pointed above her head. We have a prime spot under a heater, he added. Kira huffed.
Well, I'm not going to say no to a heater.
Bennett grinned and she bit down on her waffle to avoid doing the same. They were crunchy and chewy at the same time and filled with sticky caramel that oozed out the sides. They were delicious. She might have been able to eat six after all, but she couldn't help feeling relieved that she'd someone to stand next to while the crowd meandered by. It was nice, that was all. It was nice to have someone to eat with, after so many nights eating alone as she scrolled through her phone and thought about how she was failing at everything. How's the heat at your house, by the way? Any better?
It is, actually. The radiators definitely got hotter than they did before. And I got the chimney inspected, so I can have a fire in the fireplace now.
Oh, well, that's good. The relief on Bennett's face would have been funny if it wasn't so damn sweet. What was she doing talking to such a sweet guy? Had Chloe's departure really screwed her up that badly?
Yeah, too bad I don't actually know how to start a fire, she said with a laugh, only meaning to make fun of her ineptitude. But she should have known how it would land with Mr. Fix-It.
He shifted on his feet, took two more bites of waffle, pretended to watch the crowd, did apparently everything in his power not to offer to help her, and it lasted all of about 2 minutes. I could show you how to do it. I mean, maybe, when I come to pick out my tree. He looked so earnest, so damn eager. It was too much. Kira didn't do earnest guys. When it came to men, Kira required two qualifications, temporary and unacceptable to her mother. Men without steady jobs, men with face tattoos, men who considered themselves professional protesters and smelled like patchouli. One time, she'd brought home a guy who parked his motorcycle on the front lawn and then helped free her mother's prize-winning cockatoos. The birds were probably terrible for the local ecosystem, but it had been the principle of the thing at the time. Her mother had freaked out and her date was on his way to New Mexico for a PETA conference by morning. A win-win in Kira's book. She preferred the thrill of not knowing if the guy would still be in the country the next morning to the consistency of a guy that texted back. Where was the fun in that? And she was sure Bennett was the type who would text back, like, immediately. But maybe she hadn't needed sweet before. She hadn't needed earnest and consistent, because she'd already had all those things in her sister. And now, she didn't have Chloe anymore. Her sister had a new soulmate, and a Danish one at that. Maybe with Chloe gone, Kira needed a different type of man in her life. Shit. How annoying.
Yeah, maybe, she said, and there it was again, the heat she'd seen in his gaze when they'd bumped into each other in the waffle line.
Her gaze snagged on his lips, tipped into that perfect smile. What would it be like to kiss those lips? To lean into this moment and kiss this man and know he would call her back afterwards, and that she might actually want him to. She swallowed hard, heat creeping across her face. Okay, she'd clearly been alone for too long. When she lifted her eyes to his, he was still looking at her like he had plenty of ideas on how to keep her warm, and they had nothing to do with her fireplace. Oh, damn. They were closer to each other than they had been a moment ago, like the force of his handsomeness was pulling her toward him. He reached out and Kira froze as his thumb grazed the corner of her mouth. She felt that brush of his fingertip across her entire body. You had a little something there. He pulled his hand away, and Kira wanted to cry at its absence. Thanks. She flicked her tongue out to lick the rest of the caramelly crumbs from her mouth. Bennett's dark gaze tracked the movement. Heat flared in Kira's belly. What the hell was going on here? Was she getting herself worked up over the wholesome guy determined to tidy up her life? No way. She took a step back, letting the cold air rush in between them, giving her space to breathe. Bennett's brow hitched up slightly, but he kept his distance. She avoided his gaze, letting hers rove over the festival instead, willing her body to calm the hell down. She looked over the craft booths, over the strolling families, the excited kids in winter hats and mittens, the bell-ringing Santa. She had to hand it to the Dream Harborians. Harborians? Whoever they were, they sure knew how to throw a festival. And then she saw it. The perfect thing to distract her from her confusing feelings for this man. Reindeer! Reindeer! Bennett's gaze followed hers to the fenced-in enclosure in the middle of the town green. Reindeer! Kira echoed, already moving toward the sweet, furry babies, with Bennett trailing behind her. Look at them! Where do you think they came from? The North Pole? Kira shot him a disbelieving look. But she couldn't keep her grumpy act up when she was in the presence of such adorable animals. She tugged off her mitten, and dutifully ignoring the sign that warned the reindeer might nibble her fingers, she stuck her hand between the wood slates and rubbed the soft snout of one reindeer and then the other. "So fuzzy," she whispered. The reindeer stared at her with big black eyes. The other wandered over to where some squealing children were holding out a carrot, the jingle bells on its harness tinkling as it walked away. I want one, she declared. Maybe finish getting the farm set up before you add animals. Kira huffed. Maybe worry about your own animals and I'll worry about mine. Fair enough. Bennett took off his own glove and joined her in petting her new furry friend. She kept her hand safely on the other side of the animal's big head. She didn't need their fingers to touch. Not when she could still feel the imprint of Bennett's thumb on her lips. You want to come home with me, right? She crooned to the deer. He nudged her hand with his furry head. I think you do, you big, handsome guy. I take good care of you. Bennett cleared his throat. Yes, she said, glancing up at him.
You're making a big mistake here, he told her.
Oh, really? And what is it I'm doing wrong now? This guy... How dare he butt in again? If she wanted reindeer for her Christmas tree farm, then she was damn well going to get them, as soon as she figured out how.
You're not nearly as scary as you pretend to be, he said, his voice dangerously close to her ear.
Kira's eyes fluttered closed for a brief second, but she forced them back open. No, no Christmas magic for her. Oh, trust me, I am.
I don't think so.
Bennett's warm breath coasted along her cheek. She should have kept her damn hood up.
And you messed up.
I messed up?
Yep. Every time you talk to an animal, you give yourself away. You show how sweet you actually are.
Sweet? No, sir, that would not do.
Kira gave the reindeer one more scratch between the ears and straightened to her full height, forcing Bennett to take a step back.
I have never been described as sweet in my entire life.
Bennett shrugged. Well, you are.
No, Chloe is the sweet one, and the sensible one.
The favorite one. She swallowed that last bit.
I've never met Chloe, but I have three dogs and at least one reindeer that would agree that you are a very sweet person.
Kira scowled. He only thought that because he didn't know her sister. Her whole life, Kira knew Chloe was her better half, the one who kept her grounded, the one who'd kept her from getting arrested on more than one occasion, with her sweet smile and her Southern belle charm. And until very recently, Chloe was the one who kept her from making questionable financial decisions.
Well, I have an entire town here that would disagree.
I don't think so. I think they just want to get to know you, that's all.
I didn't come here to make friends.
What did you come here for, then?
I already told you.
Oh, right. Something about pickles and pouting about your sister's Danish husband.
I am not pouting.
At some point, Kira's hands had ended up on her hips.
I am recreating myself. I am starting a self-sustaining, ecologically friendly homestead. And Okay, maybe I am pouting a little bit.
Bennett let out a surprised laugh, and she dropped her defensive stance. It was exhausting staying mad at this guy, and maybe she had no reason to. Maybe she should stop lashing out at the one person in town she hadn't managed to scare away.
It's just, I mean, did she have to move so far away?
You miss her a lot?
So much. Oh, no. Her voice cracked with emotion. This was why she had to stay mean. There was no in-between for her right now. She could either be angry or sad, and angry seemed like the safer bet. She hastily wiped her eyes with the back of her hand.
It's ridiculous, really. I'm a grown woman. I should be able to live without my sister, but I just never had to before.
She sniffled pitifully, and she hated herself for it.
Maybe you should pet the reindeer some more. Bennett's voice was gentle and teasing. Seemed to make you feel better before.
Kira sighed. He wasn't wrong.
She reached back into the enclosure and stroked the reindeer's soft head.
It really did help. Could anyone feel sad when they were petting an animal? She didn't see how they possibly could. It was like the reindeer was sending all its calm energy to her through her fingertips.
Better?
She glanced up to where Bennett was leaning against the wood post of the enclosure.
Oh, are you still here? She snapped at him, but he just flashed that perfect smile.
It was like he understood that she had to stay mean or she'd crumble completely, and like maybe he didn't mind.
So, when are you making your big announcement? He asked.
After the mayor lights up the tree. She sighed. I tried to get him just to make the announcement for me. But he insisted it would be more effective if I did it.
Are you ready for the influx of customers you're going to get after tonight?
Her stomach flipped at the thought. Customers, money, heat, things she desperately needed.
But she was nervous. This was her big moment. The first time she wasn't living off her parents' money or working for her father's company in that bullshit marketing job he'd made up for her so she could learn some responsibility.
Her mother had been banking on her marrying one of their rich friend's sons, but that hadn't exactly panned out either. And now here she was, reliant on this quirky town to want plenty of Christmas trees.
I'm ready, she said, with more confidence than she felt. I hired a few college guys to help load the trees onto people's cars and a groundskeeper to trim the trees. And that was all she could afford at the moment. If the customers didn't start rolling in, she wouldn't even be able to pay the few employees she had.
Still looking for a Santa, though.
She let her gaze trail up and down Bennett's body and couldn't help but laugh at his surprised expression.
I don't think I'd make a very good Santa.
Oh, suddenly you're not so eager to help?
He chuckled,
Even I have my limits.
That's too bad. I think you'd look cute in red, she said, as she trailed away from the reindeer, making space for a crowd of kids speculating about the whereabouts of a certain red-nosed reindeer. She left Bennett sputtering for a response.
Chapter 7. Cute in red, huh? No, absolutely not. He would not let Kara convince him to don a Santa suit. A man had to have his limits, right? He tried to follow Kara, but she slipped easily away through the throngs of revelers. Everyone was starting to gather around the big evergreen in the center of the town square, so attempting to go against the flow of the crowd was impossible.
Ben!
He turned from his search for Kara and spotted his sister working her way toward him. For a split second, he thought about ignoring her, but that wasn't really in the spirit of the evening.
Hey, how did it go?
He asked, as Jeannie and Logan caught up to him. Annie was with them, too, her giant fluffy earmuffs and hideous Christmas sweater, making her stand out in the crowd.
It went great. A lot of sales, even with giving the cocoa away for free.
I told you that was a good idea, Annie said, nudging her friend. Lure them in with free stuff and then start charging. Jeannie smiled. You were right. You're a very savvy businesswoman.
I know.
So? Annie turned to him, eyes lit up mischievously. Did you find anything interesting up at the tree farm yet?
Oh, yeah, several dead bodies. The place is littered with them. I guess I just forgot to mention it.
Annie laughed. I like him.
Yeah, he's a riot, Jeannie said dryly. I haven't found anything, except an old house and a woman trying to run the place by herself.
He decided not to tell Jeannie and her friends about the list he'd found behind the radiator. If there really was something valuable buried at the farm, that was for Kira to find, not this nosy town.
Oh, no, Ben.
Jeannie shook her head, like she was horribly disappointed in him, and he knew he didn't want to hear whatever it was she had to say next.
What?
Not again.
Ooh, Annie chimed in. What?
Ben has a habit of wanting to fix things for people, specifically people he's dating, Jeannie explained, and then they just end up taking advantage of him and ditching him.
Annie winced.
It's not like that,
Bennett protested.
Was this the thanks he got for sharing more of his life with his sister? She just aired out his dating issues on the town square?
He never should have told her about those last few dates and about the favors he'd given out, like he was freaking Santa. Thankfully, he'd kept his sharing to the last few months and hadn't delved back further into this particular dating issue. If Jeannie only knew how screwed up his dating life was, he'd never live it down.
It's definitely like that, Jeannie said. How many of your last dates involved rides to the airport?
Not that many.
Oh, Bennett.
Annie shook her head. Even Logan grimaced.
Why is it so bad to want to be helpful? Isn't that a good thing?
He blamed Mrs. Brendan, his first grade teacher. She really got him hooked on those gold stars. And maybe over the years he liked the way people appreciated him when he did them a favor. He liked the feeling of being needed, of being useful.
Not if you let yourself be a doormat for these women. You're too nice, Ben.
That's not what's happening here.
Jeannie raised an eyebrow.
Then what's happening?
Mainly, this insane town forced me to go up there, and then I offered to check the heating in that old house. That's it.
He decided not to mention the computer help, cabin inspection, and potential Santa audition he might also have signed on for. Jeannie and her friends were already looking at him like he was a wounded animal that needed to be put down.
It's not what you think, he insisted. She doesn't even like me.
Even as he said it, he was remembering the look on Kira's face when they'd collided, the surprise and then the warmth in her eyes.
Everyone likes you, Ben.
Not her. She finds my helpful nature to be very annoying, but I couldn't leave her up there all alone and cold.
Annie gasped like she had solved some great mystery.
You like her? She squealed. You like the grumpy tree farm lady.
Bennett cleared his throat. What is this, middle school? Logan rolled his eyes.
You get used to it after a while.
I don't like her.
That definitely wasn't true, but he wasn't about to admit that he did like Kira, even though she had tried to give him every reason not to, or that he really wanted to spend more time with her, even though that was foolish, considering he was leaving after Christmas. Or that he was an idiot for even thinking about any of this, since he'd supposedly sworn off women, but had done nothing but think about her since he met her. "I'm doing what you all asked me to do," he said instead, putting the blame right back where it should be, on his sister and her crazy friends.
"Oh, right, back to that," Jeannie mercifully allowed the topic to change. "So, nothing weird up there?"
"No, just trees and an old house, that's it." Not that he'd been particularly thorough about his search. Unless the old man buried his wife under the boiler, Ben probably wouldn't have noticed. But that was just one more thing he planned to keep his mouth shut about. The women frowned. "What, disappointed I didn't find a dead body?"
"I mean, a little bit," Jeannie said, at the same time as Annie said, "definitely."
Logan just shook his head.
"Are you going back?" Jeannie asked, and Bennett couldn't help but scan the crowd for that familiar coat.
The answer should be a resounding no. How would he ever recover from his too niceness if he spent all his time up at that farm fixing radiators and searching for dead bodies that didn't exist? He should start being more selfish right now. He should tell his sister and this whole town he was done playing detective. But what if being selfish meant he wanted more time at the farm? What if doing what he wanted to do meant spending more time with Kira? "Well, I do still need a tree." He ignored his sister's smile and Annie's squeal of delight and stalked off toward the tree lighting stage to catch a glimpse of the one thing he really wanted for Christmas.
10, 9, 8.
Kira stood awkwardly on the stage next to the mayor as the crowd counted down to the big moment. She hated being on stage. In fact, she was actively trying to suppress the memories of her disastrous early pageant days from before her mother quit and told her she never had to do one again. Apparently, peeing your leotard during the talent portion was not exactly little Georgia Peach behavior. If she was remembering correctly, Chloe won Miss Congeniality that year, because of course she did.
7, 6, 5.
She scanned the faces in the crowd and tried to conjure up some holiday excitement, but it wasn't working. All she saw were strung-out kids hopped up on candy canes and days of counting down for Santa, and the exhausted parents trying in vain to rein them in. Frankly, it looked like a nightmare. No wonder her parents subcontracted all the holiday nonsense to professional decorators, party planners, and various nannies throughout the years. Although, she and Chloe had always managed to make their own fun, sneaking cookies and, in later years, booze to their room to eat under their covers, hiding from their parents' odious friends during this slew of holiday parties leading up to the big day. How could Kira possibly have a good Christmas without her sister?
4, 3, 2, 1. "Merry Christmas," the mayor shouted as he hit the switch and the tree behind her lit up with thousands of colorful lights.
The crowd cheered and the high school band charged right into an enthusiastic, if not technically adept, rendition of "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas." Kira attempted to turn her wince into a smile, but probably just looked like she was in pain, which, of course, she was. Christmas carols were bad enough, but played by a bunch of out-of-tune teenagers, they were a whole other level of terrible. Her gaze snagged on a familiar, too-perfect face in the audience. Bennett smiled at her, and she really wished she still didn't like him. If only her first impression of him as an arrogant asshole had been correct, things would be so much simpler. But instead, she found that his smile made her feel better. Just like that, she felt less lonely, less sad. And if she didn't know he would also leave her in a month, she might have explored that feeling further. But he was leaving, and Kira couldn't deal with another departure right now.
not when the last one had wrecked her so completely. She turned away and found the mayor handing her the microphone.
Hi, the mic squealed, and she hastily moved it further from her face. Sorry.
She cleared her throat.
Oh, good. She hadn't gotten any better at this in the past 20 years. Her mother would be so proud.
Hi, I'm Kira.
Hi, Kira!
Someone yelled from the audience, followed by more shouts of hello and hi and welcome. At least the town was still excessively welcoming, even after she'd acted like a bitchy recluse for the past 3 months. Maybe things were still salvageable. She took a deep breath.
Hi. I just wanted to come here and announce the official reopening of the Christmas Tree Farm this Sunday at 10 a.m.
Cheers rang out around her, and Kira couldn't help her smile and the relief that flooded through her. This was going to work. She might not have to sell her organs after all.
Right, she went on, after the noise died down. And if you can't make it to opening day, we'll be open every day after that through Christmas Eve from 10 to 6. The trees are looking beautiful this year, so I hope you will come and pick out your perfect one for you and your family.
Her gaze had accidentally found Bennett again, and his smile had grown at the mention of the perfect tree. This guy. Ugh. How had he wormed his way into her good graces just by being so damn nice? It was sneaky, is what it was. He was like a sneaky, wholesome ninja who had tricked her into actually liking him. And now she was smiling like an idiot right back at him.
Oh, and follow the farm, at My Christmas Tree Dreams, on all your socials.
She quickly handed the microphone back to the mayor before she could do something crazy like burst into a round of jingle bells or something equally horrific.
Thank you, Kira,
Mayor Kelly said, beaming at her like she'd just fixed world hunger.
I'm sure the whole town will be out in the next few weeks to get their trees. I hope you're ready for us.
Me too. Kira forced her smile to stay put, even as her insides clenched in panic.
Now, Mayor Kelly clapped his hands. Hanukkah is still a few days away, but we have our menorah ready to go, so look for those lights to go on soon, and don't forget to come out for our winter concert on the solstice.
If the concert was being performed by the school band, Kira wouldn't be going anywhere near that. But she just kept on smiling, until finally the local choir, from some church or another, took over the stage to lead the sing-along, at which point Kira hightailed it out of there, like her faux fur was on fire. She may have warmed up to the local nice guy, but there was no way in hell she was participating in a sing-along. She raced down the stairs on the side of the stage and ran headfirst into something solid and warm, something that said oof when she hit it. Something that smelled like peppermint and stroop waffles. Kara's body was flush with Bennett's, and for a split second, she didn't want to pull away. She wanted to burrow further into his warmth. She wanted him to wrap his arms around her and keep her there. She jerked back and out of his grip. Sorry.
Hey, where are you running off to?
Bennett asked.
I have to get home.
Bennett's face fell.
Oh, already?
This Christmas music had obviously broken her brain, because she wanted to stay. All of a sudden, she wanted to stay at this absurd display of Christmas cheer, with Bennett. That was when Kira realized that this nice guy, this Mr. Fix-It, Clark Kent, was far more dangerous than any of her fresh-out-of-prison boyfriends.
Yep, I made my announcement, so that's it. No reason to stay.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought we could go see Santa.
Santa?
He couldn't be serious.
Yeah,
he said with a laugh. He's set up over there. I thought you could talk to him about spending some time at the farm.
You're just trying to get out of doing the job.
Damn it, she was smiling again. And this was actually another good idea.
Bennett stepped closer, a little smirk on his face.
Hey, if you have a Santa kink, I'd be happy to...
A Santa kink?
She put her hand on his chest to push him away, but her hand forgot to push and instead just stayed there, flat against him, soaking in his heat.
Is that even a thing?
He chuckled and it rumbled through her fingertips. Oh, you'd be surprised. I've been doing some interesting reading lately.
I don't even want to know what that means.
There's this local book club. Nope. No need to explain your strange habits and sexual perversions. She grinned, and that damn hand was still there, pressed into him, and he was so solid and warm in his cream-colored sweater. And now she'd said sexual perversions out loud, and her mind was happily galloping down all sorts of perverse paths. She definitely didn't have a Santa kink, but she wouldn't mind if Bennett put her over his knee and... So, do you want to go talk to him? Kira's face flushed hot. Right, Santa. Regular, not kinky Santa. She pulled her hand off the nice man's chest. Yeah, yes, that's a good idea, actually. She started to stride away toward the little gingerbread house on the other side of the square, and Bennett fell into step beside her. You don't have to come with me. Oh, I have a few things to ask for anyway, he said, flashing her that smile. Despite her best efforts, she was starting to hate it less.